This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
KC, how are you?
How's your guys playing fever?
Well, we are, pumped up. We're kind of talking about it. This has been fun. We got a chance to come out and talk to you one night. We went to another game shortly thereafter, and they play in an incredibly attractive style of basketball. I know they took a step, they did a load management game, and everybody chastised you, but they won. They came back and they won. And I feel like this is going to be kind of fun. Just they're going to play in a play-in game, and whoop-de-doo, let's pop the bottle. Here we go.
Molly was walking around that night going, which one's Trent Tucker? you're spot on. I've been saying this for a while. The offensive transformation that this franchise has undertaken, I don't think has maybe got enough play. I mean, they were bottom three, bottom four in pace and three-point attempts and makes last year. They're top five in all those categories this season. They're top five fast break points. So, yeah, I know I was having a little bit of fun with the play-in, but, you know, Spoelstra had a great comment about it yesterday. So this is the NBA reality. Why be cynical about it? Embrace it. And the Bulls are doing that with an incredibly incredibly aesthetically pleasing offensive style of basketball. It is fun to watch. You're right, Molly.
It's so much fun, Casey, that when they had the decision and made the decision to sit out all those guys against Cleveland, I was really disappointed. I also, man, I'm not being facetious here. I was disappointed because, number one, I felt like without Donovan Mitchell, maybe the Bulls could have one of those nights and hit the threes and play with the pace and win a game they shouldn't. Number two, it seemed contrary to everything else that we had heard and believed about the Bulls' commitment to getting as many victories as possible.
You can see the logic in it, given their stretch of three games and four nights. Teams do this all the time. They hadn't done it all season. But to your point, David, it does fly in the face of what they had said all season. And my thing was, like, especially if the players are wired to play, so they wanted to play. And my thing was, like, why not throw them out there for a half, see kind of where you're at halftime, let them keep a little bit of rhythm for the next night. Because Kobe, to me, looked rusty at the start of last night after missing that one game. Now, he had a nice close to the game. If they go 3-1, they're going to say it worked, right?
Right.
And, I think if you were going to do this, I also look back at the schedule. I think you had another opportunity the week prior with the back-to-back at OKC on Monday night at home versus Toronto. Maybe you do it then. Now, that was not in a stretch of three games and four nights, so that's why they chose this one. But it was surprising. It's why, we questioned Billy as strongly as we did about it, because it just was not what we had heard from the organization all season.
I think, I don't know, even like 2-3 weeks ago, I would think the Bulls would win a game where Kobe wasn't scoring 20 points, right? So he scores 18 points, but man, they got like another really good game from Giddey. Kevin Huerter, where was that? That guy, he was red hot. Did he have 10 points in the first quarter? And obviously, Vooch is Vooch, and you got some contribution from Matas Buzelis. He had a pretty good game, hit a huge shot down the stretch. I just think that they're giving each other a little bit of a lift, to the point where on a night where Kobe isn't carrying things, it doesn't matter like it might have been. They're sharing the ball and they're running the floor, and they're a fun team to see.
Yeah, I want to shine the spotlight on Kevin Huerter out of all those people. I know Giddey and Vooch had huge games, and you mentioned Buzelis hitting the big shot late. But Herter, I remember when Herter was on Atlanta, he was one of those guys where every time the Bulls would play him, I'd be like, that dude can play. And then obviously had a strong start to his tenure in Sacramento. And then literally like the last 18 months I saw him in Sacramento, you know, a couple times against the Bulls, a couple times I'd flip on League Pass and see him, I'd be like, what happened to that guy? I mean, he just like looked like he went off a cliff. And for him to come here and find a style of play that he knew would fit him and he would fit, it's really just jump-started his career again. And it goes beyond – everyone thinks he's just a three-point shooter. If you watch him, he is a basketball player. He's a very instinctual cutter. He cuts into space. He opens up offense with his IQ in terms of knowing where to be on the floor. He's an excellent passer, had 7 assists last night. Very good rebounder for his size, too. He's got positional size. He's a basketball player. And, yeah, I mean, he obviously can knock down threes and get hot from that distance, but he's just one of those players that makes the offense flow more seamlessly. And you mentioned the assists. I mean, they had over 30 again last night. They're top 5 of that all season, too. They're averaging 29 assists a game. And Kevin Herter is a big component to that.
The biggest component to everything seems to be, with due respect to Coby White, who we've seen have this kind of run before, Josh Giddey's emergence and all the triple-doubles, the history that he's made is, to me, so unexpected. We began the year questioning whether or not he'd ever come close to what salary he was reported to be demanding or would demand. Now we're ending the season, Casey, I think, wondering how the Bulls would be without him because he seems to be an indispensable piece. How do you explain his growth and how important has he become?
Well, he and Coby are the catalyst for sure, especially him, maybe even a little bit more so just because he has the ball in his hands more. But, you know, how did it happen? I actually talked to Josh about this last night, just one-on-one. We were kind of just talking about it. The night before we had been in Cleveland, that was his low point of the season. I was there. It was early in the season. He was hunted and targeted and played off the floor, didn't close the game. It was a reminder of what had happened to him in OKC in that playoff series with Mavericks. His post-game media session was like a therapy session. He was extremely down, extremely upset with himself, and rather than point fingers anywhere else, he looked inward and said, I need to be better. And ever since then, what I've seen is a more physical, more engaged, more competitive Josh Giddey at both ends. Is he a lockdown defender? Absolutely not. Does he compete at that end? Absolutely. Is he more physical at that end? Absolutely. There was a 50-50 ball last night that he went after, and he just like wrenched it away from the Heat. He is just playing with such confidence, such physicality, such an edge. And again, I give all credit to him. I've always admired players that don't point fingers out. They point fingers in. Kobe's like that too. And I talked to Josh about this, and he said, that's just the way I was raised. I'm always about the team. I'm always about looking inward. And you got to give him all credit for looking in the mirror, doing the film study, and really changing his game at both ends.
So we had a conversation earlier about Lonzo Ball welcoming the family of the young lad that gave him his knee cartilage, a terrible accident. The guy dies, but he's a donor. And I think he was 20 when he died. But anyway, he gets the knee fixed, and after whatever it was, a thousand days, he's back in the NBA, and the family has met other of the recipients of things the kid has donated. But, you know, it was such an emotional scene, and you're sitting there, and you're, you know, it's really just a great moment. The Bulls handled it well, and it was great for that family to all be in Chicago and meet Lonzo and all that. But then you're kind of wondering, well, where is Lonzo? What's his future look like? You know, I believe yesterday was the 20th game he's missed. Is he coming back? Is it worth him coming back? What is the status of this team as we close out the season and look forward to next Wednesday?
Yeah, on the first story real quick, I was fortunate enough to meet the family and the parents, and just a remarkable gift. You know, they talked about the night being bittersweet for them, but also, you know, they're taking such great solace and relish in their son's spirit living on in one case, the life of an NBA player. And Lonzo handled that scene with such grace and aplomb. I mean, I heard him telling the parents, like, you saved my basketball life. And, I mean, it was really – I know last night was a big basketball game, but that's, like, real stuff. And it was lump in your throat kind of stuff. So pretty cool moment. As for the basketball stuff for Lonzo, he's still trying. And I know we only have two games left, but we asked Billy Donovan in Cleveland, would you be comfortable with playing Lonzo Ball in a play-in situation with him not having logged a regular season game before his return? And Billy said, absolutely, but he'd have a short leash. Like, if he doesn't look right out there or he looked rusty, he'd have a short leash. So, at this point, you're just trying to have as much depth as possible. Trey Jones isn't coming back. He's still in a walking boot. Lonzo's got the type of IQ and two-way ability that you throw him out there, maybe he makes a play or two in 12, 14 minutes. So he's trying, and we'll see where it goes. He is running out of runway. But as I said, Billy would be comfortable playing him in a play-in, even if he doesn't come back for the regular season.
Casey, what was your reaction to what the Nuggets did in firing Mike Malone and Calvin Booth together? And could this possibly, with the dismantling in Denver, result in the Joker returning to the team and the guy who drafted him?
Wow. Hadn't thought of that second piece yet.
Somehow you never know. The Bulls, for them to get a star, it's going to have to be somebody else's star. It is the NBA. Crazy things happen all the time.
I've been hearing Giannis linked to the Bulls, Trevor, so why don't we just do a package deal and get Giannis?
Why not?
That's right. Hey, with Giddy and Kobe, come on.
Yeah. What I would say to the first part that I will take more seriously or at least contemplate it's just weird. I mean, this is like the NBA is a copycat league, trend league, like a lot of pro sports. Like, is this the new thing now where you fire like a franchise winner and coach right before the playoffs? I mean, Memphis does it. Now Denver does it. Look, you never know what's going on in an organization unless you cover it or on the inside or work for it. So I can't speak to the particulars of it, but I'm like everybody else. I'm like, wait, what? It's the timing of this. You've never seen anything like this. So that's the part of it that is surprising to me.
I heard a theory yesterday that they felt they needed to fire him in case they caught fire in the playoffs and he saved his job with a good run in the playoffs.
That's so ridiculous.
Can you imagine if that mentality was – if anyone had that thought, like, we don't want to let him win because then he'll be here another 10 years. Like, what is wrong with that idea?
Yeah, I actually heard no buzz about it yet. At some point, I'm sure I will, but it's just weird. And look, I will say this. I like covering that guy just as a visiting reporter because he shoots straight. Very tough minded and obviously won a championship. So yeah. He's a good coach and was in his previous stop too. So he'll land on a seat somewhere.
Do you think the Bulls are gonna end up in the playoffs?
That's a really good question. First of all, I'm horrible predictions. Secondly, I'm totally wishy washy. So the great radio here. Sure. Why not? I mean, I don't know. It's like, it's so hard to win two playing games.
Well, I just wondered if you were compelled or believed and I guess convinced by what you've seen since really the beginning of March, this has been a different team.
100%. And that's the part that gives you confidence. And they're playing with an energy and a style that just players don't want to play at that pace for that long. And Josh Giddey said it again last night. We believe we're the best conditioned team in the league. We take relish in that. We see teams, dragging in the fourth quarter, and we want to play even harder then. I mean, it's like, sharks seeing blood. They like see teams dragging, grabbing their shorts at free throw stoppages, and they just want to just keep ramming it down your throat. And that's fun. And so, yeah, I think they have a very good chance. Let's just say that.
Is there, and we'll let you go, Casey, just quickly, is there a chance that this could be kind of a Tom Thibodeau reality where they can play hard all year and they play as hard as anyone, but they can't raise it to another level? Like, are the Heat more likely to raise to a different level than the Bulls are in a playoff game, a play-in game?
No, No, that's a good question, but the difference is it's not a series. It's a one and done.
One and
so
done.
I think you can probably overwhelm a team now. If they do get in the playoffs and they're facing Cleveland, I think we're going to be having a different reality. Okay.
Fair enough. Great stuff, KC. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, KC.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a good day.
That is KC Johnson. Does a great job.
It's okay to enjoy this.
Oh, I think
all year
board.
Long. No, I'm not saying you specifically, but
I think we have felt the same way. We've been told. People kept coming in here and telling us, "Oh no, that's bad. That's a bad result.
It's a bad win. It's a bad win."
Come on.
You get enough bad wins, and all of a sudden, you get to the point where you're enjoying what you're seeing. And I think a lot of it's what Casey you alluded to. They're hitting threes, not just taking threes, and they're playing at a pace that's enjoyable.
They're an entertaining team.
It's entertaining,
and frankly, the coach is too damn good to just try to lose.
And you respect that.
Yeah.
You respect player development. You respect a guy that knows what he's talking about.